Has anybody ever studied the book of 1 and 2 Kings?
No.
It's a historical book. There are some things in the Old Testament that they consider historical books. I mean, it was a chronological list of events that took place. You can go back in history and actually look at the history that occurred. Those sites are all real sites. A lot of them have been excavated. And so there's a lot of history, including archaeological sites that all line up with this pretty well. And a lot of the historical, a lot of people that study history in college use the Bible, the Old Testament, as historic reference. And so a lot of these things are pretty well known. They really did occur. And then you get into stories that you read about in 1 Kings chapter 18. And what 1 Kings chapter 18 is about is it's about Elijah and this queen Jezebel. Jezebel worshipped this god called Baal. Many of you have heard about Baal. And she was married to Ahab, King Ahab. And what Jezebel was doing was going around and killing God's prophets. She was killing God's prophets. And so here comes along Elijah, who is also a prophet. And he goes and challenges these prophets of Baal. So he tells all these prophets of Baal to meet him on this mountain. And Israel gathers with them. And at this time, people have turned from the one true God and they built altars to Baal. And they're worshiping this demon, this false god. And so what happens on this mountain, Mount Carmel, I think is where it was, Elijah starts taunting these 850 prophets of Baal. What he told them to do is go sacrifice a bull, put the bull on an altar, and call down fire from your god. And I'm going to do the same thing with my god, and whoever's god brings fire down is the real god. And so these prophets of Baal are sitting there for days calling on their god. Baal, bring fire down. Bring all this down. They're cutting themselves. They're dancing. They're chanting. I mean, it's like a real pagan celebration going on here, a demonic thing. Nothing happens. And Elijah sits there, and he taunts him, and he makes fun of him. Oh, is Baal on vacation?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it. Where's your god? Did he go to sleep on you? Maybe you need to yell louder so you can wake him up. I mean, he's just taunting him. Nothing happens. So what does Elijah do? Not only does Elijah set up an altar, but he has him douse it with water. He douses it with so much water, in fact, that there is no way a fire would burn. There's no possible. It's like going in our backyard right now and trying to start a fire. Yeah, it's not going to happen. What happens is Elijah now calls to his God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob and Isaac. And all of a sudden, this powerful fire comes down from the sky, ignites this altar in the bowl, and it's so hot, it absorbs and evaporates all the water around him.
Wow.
Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. And I was sitting at that table this morning thinking about this whole site. And I kid you not, lightning struck in our backyard, and it was so bright it almost blinded me. And then there was this powerful boom from thunder that all the kids jumped out of their skin, including myself. It was pretty intense. I have never seen lightning that close in my life, and I was thinking, can you imagine seeing that fire come out of the sky like that? The power of that? And all of a sudden, all these prophets of Baal now began to doubt their own God and recognize that there's one true powerful God in the universe. So Elijah ended up having those prophets that were executing the prophets of God, they slaughtered them. They wiped them out. Now Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, got word that this took place. And Jezebel was furious. And so what do you think Jezebel's going to do? She's going to put a hit out on Elijah, right? She's going to go after Elijah. So now we get into chapter 19. And today, we're going to be in chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. And I want to read the story all the way through verses 1 through 16, and then I'm going to come down and break this down a little bit. So I have anybody that feels like reading?
I will.
Okay.
1
to
what?
1 Kings 19, 1 through 16.
Okay. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king for Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet."
Thank you, Laura. That was well done. Yeah, those last verses are tough. All right. So this is, again, right after God demonstrated his power in front of all of Israel. And he used Elijah. So Elijah is going in front of Jezebel, in front of these prophets. These are the same people that killed all of God's prophets, okay? And God demonstrated his power. Now you see him as a totally different person. He's on the run. He is running for his life. He is scared to death. And he goes out into the wilderness. And now we see this man that was just bringing fire down from heaven, so scared, he just wants to get away. And he's asleep. He doesn't want to take any responsibility. He doesn't want to deal with this. In fact, he's asking God to take his own life. Those are birds.
It's not like they're inside.
So this is the picture we have now of Elijah. Have you ever felt like that? Where you just want to run and hide? the pressures of life, everything's coming down on you, right? You've seen God demonstrate his power before. You've seen the mighty hand of God in your life. But you quickly forget about that and you go run into the wilderness. That's exactly what Elijah just did here. He goes and he sits under this tree and he just goes to sleep. He's exhausted. He just doesn't know what to do. And he goes to sleep. What's really interesting here is Elijah is worried about his own life. God has used him over and over. And he wants to escape from people. He wants to just get as far away as he can. And what happens is this is fear. And with fear brings confusion. And this is where he is. He's in a confused state, doesn't know what to do. How many of you have been there before where you get so filled with fear that you just don't know how to respond? You don't know what to do. You panic. You retreat. You go into this place where you just can't think straight. And that's what I'm picturing Elijah here doing, right? I think we can all probably relate to that in some way in our life.
Usually a lot of bad decisions are right there at that time of your life.
Right. Now, something that we need to remember here is that Elijah, even though in the story it looks like he's alone, he was not alone. He was not alone. Well, what do you mean by that, Tim? Well, God knew where Elijah was, right?
Yep.
Have you ever tried to outrun God? You ever tried to hide from him?
Yes,
I have. You can't outrun God. You can't hide from God. Now, while Elijah was trying to hide, God was there for him, and he continued to provide for him, and he was not alone. And I love this story because it just shows how good and loving God is. It reminds me of Jonah and countless others where God had called him into a ministry, or God had called him to a task. And they're so scared and they're terrified and they're filled with confusion and they run and they think they're going to outrun God. They're going to go hide from him. And you know what? God pursued him. God pursued him all the way there. You can't outrun God. God is a God of pursuit. He's not going to let you out of his grip. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to stand back and I'm done with Elijah. He continued to stay with Elijah and stay in his life. And he wasn't alone. You see, I don't care how far we think we can run or what bush we can hide under or what cavern we can go into the darkness in, God pursues you into those places. He doesn't leave you alone. Now, what's interesting here is that the Bible tells us that God has a plan for each of our lives. How many of you believe that?
I'm starting to believe it more and more now.
You're not just here by circumstance. You're not here by chance. God had a plan and a purpose. He is the great creator of all of this. And the Bible is very clear that each one of us has a purpose in this life. And God put us here for a reason. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't figured out what that is yet, maybe you're running from God. Maybe you're not listening for his voice at this point in your life. But God has a plan for each of us. And he had a plan for Elijah. He wasn't done with Elijah. In verse 9, the Lord asks this question, "What are you doing here?" And I love that. What are you doing here? How many times has God asked you that? What are you doing here? Why aren't you where I'm calling you to be? Is what he's saying. What are you doing under this tree taking a nap when I'm trying to use you, Elijah? Elijah was a discouraged child that God was asking this question to. He felt defeated, I can imagine. He's like, all these people are out to kill me. Remember when David went through that? When all these people were out to kill David and he was on the run and he would get depressed and confused and he was full of fear. Well, Elijah was in the same state. You see, God's people go through that. God's people go through these times of fear and uncertainty and uncomfortableness. They wonder where God is sometimes, even though they've seen his mighty power. And it's okay to feel that way once in a while. We all go through that. We all have these doubts. We all go through these fears. And we're like, where's God? He was here yesterday. Where is he today? He's still there. You see, Elijah was under this tree pouting. He was feeling sorry for himself. He's like, woe is me. My life is over. Elijah was pouting when he should have been praising God. I always think of the Apostle Paul. If you read his story in Acts, how he's chained in the prison floors, and you're thinking, okay, if I was Paul in prison, chained to the floor, how would I respond? And what you read about Paul is he's singing hymns and he's praising God. And he saves jailers, the same jailers that were keeping guard of him to make sure he didn't escape that prison. Paul wasn't there pouting, he was there praising. And in the midst of our storm, when we learn to praise God, even in those times, something miraculous usually happens. God had not changed since he just gave Elijah that victory. God was no different. God could still bring fire down from heaven. No matter how much water you poured over that altar, God could still burn it all up. But God had this question, what are you doing here? And I think that's the question God has for each of us today is, what are you doing here? Are you in a place where God wants you, or are you in a place where you're hiding? That's the question we all need to ask ourselves. See, God hasn't changed from this time of Elijah until now. God's been the same, always will be the same. God is not changing. He is still in control and he's still watching each of us. Now, as I said earlier, God has a purpose for each of us. Sometimes we don't know what that purpose is. But the Bible is pretty clear that you have a purpose. You can be like Elijah and you can run from that purpose, or you can say, here I am, God, use me, and you can serve in that purpose. There is nothing wrong with having fears and running from things at times, as long as that doesn't control your life. Because what I've learned is that fear will keep you from serving God in all circumstances. Fear is an emotion. If you believe that God has called you, and if you believe that he can send fire down from sky, then you shouldn't fear anything. What I've learned about God is when he calls you to do something, he doesn't send you alone. Just like Elijah was not alone under this tree, you're not alone under your tree. God is right there with you. And when he calls you to go do something, he goes with you. He never sends you by yourself. He will help you carry your burdens. He will help you carry whatever you think those obstacles are, and he will walk with you and fulfill those things that are in his will. God alone is our hope and our trust. I've learned that we can probably make it alone in this world if we really wanted to. We could survive, we could get by, but we don't have to. We can choose to do it by ourselves, or we can choose to let God into our lives and do it with us. And when you allow God into your life and allow him to walk with you in these things, it's a whole different life. You're no longer just living or surviving. You're living on purpose. Now, in verses 11 through 15, this is very interesting. Beginning with verse 11, it said, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now, when you expect the Lord to pass by, you expect some mighty power to go by you, right? What's interesting here is lightning comes, an earthquake comes, but it says God's not in that. Then this mighty wind blows. It says God's not in that. And then all of a sudden you hear a still, small voice. And that's God. That's how God spoke to Elijah here. He didn't use all this commotion to speak to him. He used a small, silent voice to pass by and speak to Elijah. God was saying, I want your undivided attention, Elijah. Go up to this mountain and wait for me. And he asked Elijah, just listen, be still and listen. And he said, that's how we miss our purpose a lot of times. We are so surrounded by earthquakes and wind and distractions that we're expecting God to speak in that somehow. And what God wants us to do is just be still and listen. Elijah would have missed all of what God was trying to tell him if he was focused on the commotion instead of focusing on the king. He called him out of the hiding in the wilderness and said, come out of here, come over to this mountain where I am going to speak to you. With all the mighty things that happened, God was not in any of those mighty things. He was in the small thing, the small voice. And I love that because so many times we miss God's voice because of all that commotion around us. We get so busy, we're so stuck in our fear, we're looking at all the chaos in our lives and so focused on putting out all these fires that we miss that still voice of God. But I'll tell you this, that God is speaking to each of you today. Are you hearing Him? Are you listening for Him? God wants each of us to listen. Sometimes we feel like we have to do all the talking. That when we go before God, we just have to pour out all of our requests to God and make them known and then walk away. Sometimes we need to be still and just close our minds off to all the things going on around us and just listen. Listen to your heart. Listen to what God is saying to you. In this storm, in this earthquake, in this fire, in this wind on top of this mountain that Elijah was in, what I saw was God saying to him, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's what I love about this story is that God cares enough about each person in such an individual way that He will go out of His way to let you know I am here with you. And that's what He did with Elijah on this mountain. He wanted to do more with Elijah than just keep him alive. It wasn't about keeping him alive. Elijah had a purpose. Elijah had a purpose, and God wanted to use Elijah for that purpose. He had plans, not just plans, but to go and anoint a king. He said, I'm going to send you to anoint kings, to anoint people, to bring people to me. You know what? God does that with each one of us. It doesn't have to be anointing kings. But He has a task for every one of us. And if we're not willing to step out of that fear and that comfort and trust God and know that He can send fire from sky, then we're going to miss out on opportunities that God gives us throughout our life. God wants to do more with you than just keep you alive. He has a purpose and a plan. And He's not forgotten you. What I've learned is that God often wants to take us out of that wilderness and walk with us and serve out His will. But too many times we miss it. We miss it. We get too caught up in our own fears. How many have heard the voice of God? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to throw out a question here for you to think about. How many of you have heard a voice of God calling you to do something and you didn't do it because you were afraid? You were afraid. And then later on in life, you probably look back at that one moment. I can remember moments in my life where God has called me out to go do something. And I rationalized and I convinced myself, oh, that wasn't God speaking. That was just, no, we're just going to blow that one off. That wasn't God. Then later back, you look and you see a point in time where, yeah, maybe that was God. And maybe I should have listened to that because there was an opportunity. Now that opportunity is gone and I see something going a different direction because I didn't listen to God. I've seen it. There have been times where I've been sitting on an airplane, somebody sitting next to me. And what do I pray when I travel? A lot of times, God, show me opportunities today where I can witness to somebody, where I can be a light to somebody.
Unless it's the guy next to you on the plane.
Huh?
Unless it's the guy next to you.
Right. Yeah, except for this guy, Lord. And there were opportunities for me to open up. And what I do, I put the earbuds in and sit there and eat. You know, when I should have listened. See, Elijah could have easily just sat in the wilderness. He could have stayed on the run, said all the prophets were killed, I'm next. God could have said, I don't want to use Elijah anymore, he's already ditched me. He's run away, he doesn't want to serve me anymore. But God continued to pursue him. And God will continue to pursue each one of us. He never pulls his hand away. He's always got his hand in your life. And he wants so badly for you to just surrender yourself to him. And his plan and his purpose is a good plan. Always has been a good plan. And when we learn to surrender to that and not surrender to our fear, we learn to trust God and know that he is powerful enough to send this lightning and whatever from sky to do his will, then we begin to have purpose in our life. Then we begin to live a life full of abundance, not full of just getting by. Just getting by. And that's what I see in the story with Elijah. So today, if you're in that place, if you're caught up in these storms and you're not serving the Lord, you're missing out. You are totally missing out. We don't have to run in fear. We don't have to hide. Jezebel's not coming after you. But you know who is coming after you? God. Not to destroy you, but to give you abundant life. Amen? Let me go ahead and close this in prayer.